Let's go ahead and start with a flag salute. The flag is at the rear of the building. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. Okay. I'll have a roll call, please.
Director Ohilski?
Here.
Director Vogel? Director Wright?
Here.
Vice President Baltimore?
Here.
President Muthart?
Present.
Thank you.
All right. May I have a report out of closed session?
Yes, President Muthart, and for your last, I think, formal meeting.
Yes.
And members of the board, staff, and audience, the board did go into closed session at approximately 6 p.m. in regards to three items, two of them under pending litigation under Government Code Section 54956.9A, the first being the groundwater adjudication and the second being the bankruptcy. In each matter, they heard a report from legal counsel but took no reportable action. However, there was a public comment before the closed session requesting information regarding the attorney that was referenced in the prior closed session report. That attorney's name is Eric Garner of Best Best and Krieger out of Sacramento. The issue that he's being retained on is water rights. As a part of the stipulated judgment, the basin plan was a major portion of it, but the final portion of that is a determination of water rights between the parties and the purveyors. It's a very important issue for the district residents, and we've hired Mr. Garner to represent us in that aspect of the case only. Then the board went into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.95 in regards to a claim brought by Susan Morrow. The board authorized the resolution of that claim for the sum of $59.02. The vote was unanimous among the board members. And that concludes my report, Mr. President.
Great. Thank you. Before we go into public comment for items not on the agenda, we're going to allow some time for a special announcement for the Needs and Wishes Holiday Fundraiser.
Good evening. Well, this is the eighth year. Just one second here. Jerry's going to talk about some of the things that will be happening at the event. But this year, the proceeds, and as you know from the past, everything in the room that day was donated by somebody. We have no overhead. Every penny raised goes to the charities that we support. Sometime early in the event this year, we will have crossed over the $250,000 raised mark. We've averaged a little over $35,000 a year. The recipients this year, Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter. The reason we kind of gravitated to them is they're a lot like people helping people. They try to do as much as they possibly can with as little resources and as much volunteer work as possible. Currently, they only have 1.5 paid employees. Everything else is donated. All of the doctor time is donated. They get prescriptions donated. They get medical equipment donated. It's unbelievable. And before I forget, Dr. Chowans from the North Clinic and myself will be on the Dave Congleton show tomorrow night at 5:30 talking about the event. So you want to tune in or call in after 6 about the event. So that's how we're splitting up the proceeds this year. Jerry's going to talk about some of the individual things that happen at the event, but I want to talk about those that have been there. We have a toy store where you can come and buy brand new toys, top of the line, under retail. And we encourage people, if you're not buying it for a grandchild or a child, to come and buy one for either Operation Santa Claus or Toys for Tots. We get the money for the event. Toys for Tots or Operation Santa Claus gets the toy, you know, double the bang for your buck. But I was over at Salvation Army in Morro Bay today, dropping off the receipts and the bank deposits from the kettle collection in town, and they are severely behind where they were last year in the accumulation of toys for their Christmas program. So there's another place if you want to come and buy a toy here and drop it off in Morro Bay. They're really concerned this year. And when I was over there, I saw what had been accumulated. It's not anywhere close to what it's been in the past. One of the highlights of the event every year is the raffle. We usually have some type of gaming system as the lead raffle prize. A friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, who doesn't even live in this state, procured an Xbox One. I think those that are into gaming know how hard those were to get this year, or are going to be to get this year. It comes with a one-year Xbox Live membership and the game Forza. So those out there listening, they'll understand and are into that. Raffle tickets will be $1. We had an Xbox 360 last year and sold over 800 tickets, so I think this year we'll probably be exceeding that number. From what I understand, Target and Walmart, when they were released, only had 8 for each store. So we were pretty fortunate to wow. to get this donation. The other thing I just want to, you know, there's everything for the event is donated by somebody, and the volunteerism is great. But this year we had our Los Osos Scrooge moment, I guess I'll call it. The Tuesday before Thanksgiving, all of the signs on Los Osos Valley Road and all of the signs announcing the event on South Bay Boulevard were stolen. And they weren't picked up by the sheriff's department, and they weren't picked up by the county, any of the county departments, because we inquired of both of them. In fact, the sheriff's station said, you know, they're spread so thin and they know about the event, they would have never in a million years picked them up. They actually make a sweep through the parking lot every hour, hour and a half, the night before the event to make sure nobody's breaking in while we're here. And then this last Monday evening, all of the signs in the Cuesta area and Pine area, they're all missing too. So I can give you, whoever's listening, whoever did this, I can give you the address of where the rest of them are if you really have to have them. But it's a pretty sad moment when somebody would do that. And, you know, as one of the deputies said, you know, karma can really be a, and I think you know how that ends. So I'll turn it over to Jerry. The event is this coming Saturday, the 14th, from 10 to 6 here at the center, free admission. And Jerry will talk about the rest of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Hi, Jerry Walsh. I just want to let you know this isn't only about buying things at the center. We have entertainment free all day long, and this year it's jam-packed from 10:30 in the morning till 6 at night. Solid entertainment. This is live local entertainment from people throughout the county, bands, choirs, dancers, just really people wanting to make this a success. And on the silent auction tables, we have antiques, collectibles. Like we have like a John Wayne collectible book. We have a Starbucks 2004 Christmas truck in its original box. Crystal, China. Just everything. There's a guess how many M&Ms are in the jar, Christmas M&Ms. So there's just tons of things going on all day long. We hope you'll come. We put flyers on the back table and also, okay, right in front here. If you can't come and want to check, want to write out a check, you make it out to people helping people. Not a penny goes to people helping people, but we disperse the funds among the three organizations. Last year we had people writing out checks directly to the organizations and then trying to match that plus cash to equal the percentages, and everything was hard. So if you want to write a check out, P.O. Box 6721 Los Osos. If you have any questions about the event, want to volunteer, we take people all day long volunteering, 528-5800. Thank you for the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.
One more thing. If you have questions about this, Family Magazine has a flyer posted in the magazine that'll remind you of when it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go right into public comment for items not on the agenda.
I'm still talking about closed session. This was closed session, wasn't it?
No.
Have you had comment on closed session already?
It's before closed session at 6 o'clock.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. All right, now we'll have public comment for items not on the agenda.
Hi. Thank you. My name is Al Barrow. Happy holidays to everybody. And I wanted to talk about Golden State Water a little bit because they are costing us a lot of legal fees. I don't know what the summary of all the costs were, but I know the ratepayers know what they're paying for their fees, and they're two and a half times as much as ratepayers on the community services district. So we've got an unbalanced equation here. Half the people in the community are paying 2.5 times as much as the other people. It's not fair. And one of the things that makes it possible for you is you don't have to pay taxes and you don't have to make a profit as a public utility. And because you're a public utility, you answer to the voters. And so we have a much fairer deal than the people that pay for Golden State Water. So if we decide to take over Golden State Water and buy them out for about around $12 million, we would be way ahead. We could share the costs of our admin fees. We wouldn't have to raid the fire funds. And we would have a much better situation with control of our basin water supply. We could be assured that we would then be responsible in pumping the aquifer in a fair manner that would protect our water supply. So those are some of the motivations that would cause the community to want to buy out Golden State and unify the whole basin. And I just wanted to share that with you. And we're working with a number of different groups that have done this before. And I think you deserve to have all that financial information that shows just how that would work, how the bond would work, and what the advantages to the community services district, keeping in mind that the ratepayers are responsible for paying for the buyout, so there wouldn't be any extra cost to the Los Hills CSD. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
President Muttart and directors, my name is Merle Clift. I am a director at Cambria Community Services District. I'm also a special district representative, such as Mr. Ohilski on the LAFCO Commission. And I am a director of the Special District Risk Management Authority in Sacramento and the Special District Leadership Foundation in Sacramento. I mentioned those because I want you to know that I have a very special place in my heart for special districts. I believe that you represent the people at the closest to the people who are right here on the ground every day. I think that as an agency, you are the most in touch with your the people you represent. You may or may not know that I will be a candidate for the second district supervisory position here in San Luis County, and I'll be running on a platform of bringing individuals and agencies together so that we can solve some of our common problems and the individual problems of the areas. Wish you and your community members a very joyous time during this holiday season. And thank you for the ability to be here.
Thank you, Mr. Cliff.
Richard Margetson. I wasn't going to speak about this, but how refreshing was that? How many times have you asked the county to come here and interact with this board and take advantage of these meetings being telecast twice a day, every day of the month in Los Osos? And they've refused. We've talked about it. You guys have voiced your concerns at meetings. Some of them you've stated here publicly. The refusal, where you've asked and been told, absolutely, we will not be at those meetings. Mr. Gibson's got some serious issues coming down the pike with dealing with this community. I'm going to kind of segue in. This segues into what I was actually coming up here to speak about. I don't know if you saw the recent update on the wastewater project, but the number of washing machines replaced in Los Osos, we're up to 19 through September. You only have to average 127 for the last a month for the last 3 months to hit the goal. And when we ask repeatedly for this program to be, not just that program, the entire program, to be reviewed, revisited, and adjusted, falls on deaf ears. No response. A couple of the other supervisors show some concern once in a while, but our supervisor? None. None. And that's not the only part of that conservation program that there's an issue with. There's something coming, gentlemen, I guarantee you, that I think you're going to be really surprised at when it gets released to the public. But this attitude that I'm the only one that knows, our supervisor's the only one that knows right, and the county staff is never wrong. Well, I think we found that out with the retrofit to build credit chart that was revised four times. That ordinance was revised four times because of comments from the public. Mr. Gibson refused to bring it back before the board to have it all done one time. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Lindy, from Los Osos here. I would have to totally agree about the level of relationship that we have with our county supervisor. It's what I would have to say, completely dysfunctional. I just want to remind everyone that AB 2701 happened behind closed doors. It took the project away from a newly elected CSD who proposed to do an alternative, more green technology, and it gave it to the county. And the county had Pava Ogren, who happened to also have contractual deals with Montgomery Watson Harza, and somehow Montgomery Watson Harza, I mean, his contractual agreements with them when he was first a CSD director here came with him when he took over the county position of managing our sewer. Anyway, I'm completely disenchanted with any kind of coverage that Mr. Gibson has given us on the issues ever since the installation of the piping started going on. The contract agreements say that the roadways are to be restored on the right-of-ways, and we all know that they're not being restored, and yet the project can brag that it's one half of the way installed, yet they are totally lacking in cleaning up the mess behind them. And that has been brought to Mr. Gibson's attention for 2.5 months now. I show pictures of Los Osos. I do attend most of the Board of Supervisors meetings, and it's clear that this is not being addressed. There is no oversight except for, again, the county. And when our supervisor cannot even get the attention of the county oversight, there's something totally dysfunctional.
She could probably watch the streaming video and be more effective in the office if she was there and following along, or just read the agendas, packets, and that kind of thing to get caught up. I don't know that her time is best spent in the board chambers. Also, speaking about representation, and this I do think Ms. Kivley should be at, as well as every one of you, is tomorrow morning's water board meeting and the Los Osos Wastewater Project update. They'll be talking about nitrates, something we need to be talking about here in Los Osos. The two nitrate studies that the county has done since they took the project need to be discussed. They'll be talking about the basin plan. They'll be talking about dewatering, and they'll be talking about recycled water. I asked last month, and you did discuss it the month before, about dewatering and how disappointed we all are, and I think we owe the community an explanation about why we've backed off on pushing the county to cease discharging to the bay, and or discharging to Broderson, and Broderson is complete up there and could be taking flows. And what I don't know that you know is that the county's going to be coming to you and Golden State for will serve letters. Every pump station needs a fresh water supply. They will all need meters, and they all need will serve letters. You have the upper hand. And if you want that dewatering to stop like I do, or you want Broderson exercised like I do, you have some pushback. They don't get a will serve unless we start seeing that project exercised. They're going to put two wells in our basin out at the Jacamazi site. I've been studying the plans, and it's very concerning that how much is the sewer itself going to use of fresh drinking water?
Okay, thank you. Any more? Seeing none, I'll close public comment for items not on the agenda.
Do you have a comment? I just wanted to make one quick comment. I wanted to mention that Merle Cliff was my vice president on the Special Districts Association for the county. But I also wanted to thank Merle because he was the one who was responsible for us getting in the SDRMA program for our insurance. So I just wanted to thank Merle in person for getting us in that program, which I think is a benefit not only financially but also just to give us the background and resources that we might not otherwise have. So I'd like to thank Merle for that while he's here.
Okay. All right, at this time, I'm going to open a public hearing, public comment and public testimony for the to adopt the ordinance, the fire ordinance. Do I need to do a, I guess Chief will speak to this.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, both here and on TV. Once again, appreciate the opportunity to stand here and present to you a fire code adoption. You have before you agenda item 8A, which is an ordinance of the Los Osos Community Services District amending and restating the district's fire prevention code found in Title IV of the Los Osos Community Services District Code, including the adoption of the 2013 edition of the California Fire Code, including annual supplements, state amendments, and errata and resolutions 2013-35. As you're aware, every 3 years, a new fire code is issued by the California Building Standards Commission. The California Fire Service and their governing boards must either adopt it in its entirety, make changes to meet local needs, or reject the code by January 1st of 2014. In this case, as you're well aware, this is the second reading. You guys have chosen to amend it as staff's recommendations after we reviewed it based on local climatic, geologic, and topographical conditions. In this second reading, we ask that We make several recommendations to the board. Recommendation number one is that we open the public hearing and receive testimony regarding ordinance number 2013-02 of the Los Osos Community Services District amending Title IV of the district code. We recommend that you conduct a second reading by title only and proceed with final adoption of ordinance 2013-02 of the Los Osos Community Services District amending Title IV of the district code by adopting the 2013 edition of the California Fire Code, including annual supplements, state and local amendments. And the third recommendation we're making.
Seeing none,
I will close
the public hearing at this time.
Right, and there will be three votes. One would be to read the ordinance by title only before adoption, and that has to be a unanimous vote.
Okay.
Also move.
Clarification, unanimous vote of directors present?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Can I have a vote?
Yeah. I have a clarification here. So in the staff report, what the motion is what's indicated here is motion number one. Is that correct?
No.
No.
No. This motion is just to read the ordinance by title only.
Okay, I'll second that then.
Have a roll call, please.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President
yes.
Muthart?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, this is an ordinance of the Los Osos Community Services District amending and restating the district's fire prevention code found in Title IV of the Los Osos Community Service District codes, including the adoption of the 2013 edition of the California Fire Code, including annual supplements and state amendments and errata. Now there would need to be a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Okay. This would be number one. Director Wright, could you please? Can you get this? Yeah,
okay.
I was going to give you the second one.
Motion one. I move to conduct the second reading by title only and adoption of ordinance number 2013-02, the Los Osos Community Services District amending Title IV, the district code of the 2013 edition of the California Fire Code, including annual supplements, state and local amendments, and direct staff to publish the appropriate documents.
That's what I'll second. We get to be the chairs of the ESAC committee, so we get to do this.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay, a roll call, please.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Muthart?
Yes.
Thank you.
May I have a motion number two, please?
Mike. Yes. I move to adopt resolution 2013-34. Requesting the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors ratify the Los Osos Community Service District's adoption of amended 2013 edition of the California Fire Code.
I'll second that.
Thank you. May I have a roll call, please?
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Muthart?
Yes.
Could I make a comment, please?
Yes.
I'd like to thank the chief and the rest of CAL FIRE for the presentation that you did last meeting, which I thought was very, very informative, and for all the hard work that's gone into this update. So I'd like to express appreciation. I think the board would be unanimous in that support.
Yes. Okay. We'll go on to administrative and committee reports. Chief Fineris is up again.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, both here and in the audience, for the second time tonight, I'm very glad to be up here to provide the October 2013 Chiefs report for you. Before I get going, there's a couple quick things I want to do for housekeeping. Remind you that you have an open invitation on the 14th of December to come to the Rouse Shopping Center and ride on the fire engines with us as we participate in the holiday parade. We will be carrying Santa again this year, and I'm sure that he would like your support. And if you're good boys, then you'll get more presents. So that's a good way to get in his good graces. So you and your families are obviously welcome. Being in the holiday season, I got to reinforce holiday safety. Candles always attended, that your trees are well watered if you have holiday trees, that your lights are checked, and just for fire safety issues. So please, please, if you have questions, give the station a call at 528-1053. We'd be happy to answer your questions. We're still looking for volunteers to help with the Monarch Butterfly Maintenance Program in the Monarch Grove. You can contact that same number again, 528-1053. We should be having some training led by Dr. Kingston Leon in about 2 weeks, somewhere around the 15th of December is what we're shooting for. I don't have a solid date right now. I'd like to emphasize what you heard earlier tonight about Operation Santa Claus. We will have buckets up at the fire station as well as Season of Hope buckets. They have been filling up very quickly, but there's always room for more, and we appreciate the support of the community. So with that all being said, we'll get into your October report. In the month of October, we responded to 102 calls, two of those being simultaneous or back to member. We started out with about 30. Through a resume review, got it down to 21. Of those, 20 were successful at the physical ability and were invited to come back for interviews. We held those interviews on, actually, the next step was law enforcement background checks. As required by the board and the district policy, CAL FIRE law enforcement did background checks, focusing on criminal and civil judgments as well as driving records. All six came back clear and current. And good to go. From there, we went and sent the prospective candidates to the med stop to get them medically cleared by a doctor, as is required by policy. And they're all good. They're all good medically cleared. So, quick update on the six. Four will need additional training, like we suspected, with the anticipation that they'll be ready to go sometime late spring or early summer, depending on how that training goes. They'll be going through the local PCF Academy here in San Luis. One will be going to the Allen Hancock Fire Academy, which is a little higher level of training, so we're excited about that. And one of the individuals has all of his training, is currently in the training, and we expect that individual to be responding on call sometime after the first of the year. So that'll go pretty quick. So I feel very very happy with the results of this hiring process. On the 30th of October, Firefighter David Sylvester also resigned. As we indicated, what's happening is these folks are understanding the complexities and the time commitments, know that we're in a hiring process, and so both these guys left in good standing. We're sorry to see both David and Greg go, but we do have some good candidates behind them. For training, we helped two Morro Bay students on a language arts study. They came in and shadowed the firefighters for a couple of hours over a many day period, and then gave a report on that. It was very successful. Both of them, I believe, have the goal of ultimately coming out and being firefighters. But it's hard to tell when you're 15 or 16 how that rolls out. We participated in a Spanish language disaster preparedness class, actually throughout the month of October, but here we started on the 8th. This is very similar to a CERT, Community Emergency Response Training course, but it focuses on the Spanish-speaking community in Los Osos and the surrounding area, and was very well received. I'm sure we'll be doing more of those in the future. A couple projects that occurred in the month of October. Medic Rescue 15 went in for some routine and annual maintenance. Started out as some oil leaks, some fuel leaks, some tranny leaks, routine maintenance, brake jobs, and stuff like that. The deeper we got into it, the more we started putting money into it. As you remember, that's a 2003. We want to get that vehicle to about 2015 before we start looking at replacing it. That's the lifespan of that vehicle. As we got into it, I asked them to look at some cracks in the buildup. Those cracks were determined to be structural problems, so we had to send it to a body shop. They sanded it down, they welded it back up, and then the back of the vehicle was painted. All total for all the services to Medic Rescue 15 was about $14,000. This was paid for through the Schedule D of the cooperative agreement between yourself and County Fire Department, CAL FIRE, and in replace. Because it was down for just under a month. We moved County Fire Rescue 10 in to replace it, so you still had two vehicles as required by the level of service agreement. On the 5th of October, The Station 15 staff was honored by the Sea Pines and the Zongo All-Stars at the Firemen or Firefighters Appreciation Day. It was a great event. Got a nice plaque out of that one. We did appreciate the support of the community. On the 10th of October, Company 15 with Engine 215 participated in the 2013 Alicia Ann Rouge Burn Foundation, as we do every year at Fire Prevention Week. The engine started out in the Pomo, worked its way through schools, and ended up here at the Baywood Elementary School at about 2 o'clock, where the station staff went down and assisted with a fire prevention presentation for about 20 minutes. On the 25th and 26th, staff participated in Area 55 at the Los Osos Middle School. I'm sure you're familiar. That was a great evening event fundraiser for the school. On the 27th, we participated in the Los Osos Chamber of Commerce Oktoberfest. Had a great booth right next to the CSD staff, so that was a good call on whoever set that up. We do appreciate that. In the month of October, the California Conservation Corps, in cooperation with Fire Safe Council and the Los Osos Focus Group, continued to work around Cabrillo Estates. That's probably about 80% done now, and I can tell you that CAL FIRE crews are now, we're coming out of fire season, have inserted into that project as well, and I anticipate it being done in the next several weeks, if not before the end of the end of the calendar year. And on October 12th, we had our annual open house safety fair. This year it was at the Rouse Shopping Center, San Luis Ambulance, CAL FIRE Station 11 in Cayucas, the Sheriff's Department, and the Los Osos Focus Group, as well as the Emergency Services Summer. So in the next chief's report, we'll be sure to have a new org chart for you.
Okay. And then the repairs done to that vehicle, that still takes it out to 2015, or does that extend it out any?
That's a great point, and I probably should have brought that up. One of my goals for that vehicle, and that's why I did so much work on the buildup, was to get that buildup back into good shape before the fractures got any bigger. So now, if my plan goes according to what I would like to have, all we have to do now is purchase a new chassis, and we'll repurpose that buildup, and that will save you a considerable amount of money.
Excellent. Great. Any other questions? Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Utilities. How am I ever going to learn if you keep helping me? I know.
Good evening, President Muthart, Vice President Baltimore, Board, staff, and the public. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm here to report on the operations of the Utilities Department for the month of October. As far as water is concerned, the production for October was 20.4 million gallons, and it represents an increase of approximately 4% compared to last year. 43% of the water service area was billed for the period September 11th through November 10th, and consumption was 15.9 million gallons, which decreased by approximately 1% from last year. But this generated a revenue of $143,029, which is an increase from last year by approximately 11%. So production and runtime hours are provided in your packets down there. During the month of October, crews were busy with several mainline breaks and provided maintenance on hydrants and chlorine tanks. Staff submitted the semi-annual well depth report to the county, and also submitted monthly compliance reporting to the Department of Public Health for October with no violations noted. And then on October 11th, the 10th Street tank had a warranty inspection, and there was just some very minor repairs. The district engineer is in contact with the contractor for that. And we also put the cathodic protection back online. And also want to remind you, we are in the process of implementing new billing software, and we plan to have the new system go live by the end of this month. This is a real tedious process, and we want to ask the public to be, you know, patient, because the old system, we can't port everything over. We just did a balance forward, and so that means people want old history. They're going to have to maybe wait,
you know, for someone to call them back. We aren't going to be able to look it up right away. So I just want to prepare the public for this, and we're looking forward to this new billing software being much more user-friendly in the office, and then also we have options for people to be able to sign up and get e-bills, and we'll have all of that available to the public too in our water service area. So as far as drainage is concerned, our facilities have all the pumps in place and are ready to go. October, we had like 0.29 inches of rain. That was our major, that one little rainfall, I guess. But at least we got the pumps there, and they're working when there are main line breaks. So they're there for, it's good to know that they're working. I also want to take this time to remind everyone in Los Osos that they are on septic systems still, and please be careful what you flush down the toilet. Residents are welcome to stop by the lobby and pick up septic system maintenance guides. We have free ones that we got from the EPA, and our office, or the lobby hours are from 9 o'clock until 10. Wouldn't that be nice? 9 until 3, I'm sorry. But we do also have downloadable versions on the website. If you go to the utilities department and you click on the drop-down menu, there's a link to the septic system maintenance guide. And just want to say happy holidays to everyone. And that concludes my report for the utilities department. For if you have any questions, please answer.
The end of this month is still the end of essentially full replacement rebates for the sewer project, you know, toilets and sinks and showers. Is that correct?
Thank you.
I have one comment. Is Director Baltimore suggesting that that would be a Christmas present for people? Here, honey.
Okay. LOCAC report. I see nobody there for that. Emergency Services Advisory Committee, please.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, we met on November 19th and discussed several things. We reviewed the minutes, of course, approved and filed those, reviewed the financials. We're going to be gearing up for the mid-year budget adjustments coming up at the next two meetings or meeting after February, I believe, right? Okay. And then also Chief Rainier has presented the ordinance that we just approved to the fire committee on that. And then we also, again, discussed the mission statement and vision statement, deferred that again. We might get that done soon. It's a work in progress, believe me. We also discussed the future steps to develop the Los Osos Habitat Conservation Plan in Section 7 consultation process. General Manager Kibley will be meeting with the county and Fish and Wildlife, and we're hoping to have some information back around February on that. Also, the chief was asked and gave us an update on the response time in regards with the construction going on. And it's been vastly improved, primarily due to now the contractors are providing them with daily maps instead of weekly maps, and that's helped a lot. And also, it's still the guys are driving around checking things out visually, too, which is a big help. And then we also reviewed again the fire report. And going back again on the report, there was a discussion in regards to, and it was brought up by a member of the public, in regards to the safety aspects of Twin Bridges in event of a major flood due to the high silt value in the willow trees. And basically, that's still going to be a work in progress. There's many, as many organizations involved in redoing the bridge are involved in the safety issue. And one thing, excuse me, that's coming out, excuse me, is PG&E is updating their emergency response plan, and we should have that maybe February or March, and that'll help us push that again forward, because the fear is if they have a heavy rain, assuming that Margaret comes through for us, then, we could have a flooding issue over there. And then with LOBR down to one lane each direction near the other bridge, it just would be a terrible evacuation problem. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay. Go on to the Utilities Advisory Committee.
No, thank you.
Right here.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I'm essentially reading the minutes because Director Vogel attended the meeting without me. Minutes were approved, that's good. I know in concept what... So committee member Floyd made a motion that the, I don't want to go there, sorry. So a discussion was held on the intent to serve policy and the actions of that discussion were that the committee recommended to the board that the general manager evaluate sections B and B2 relevant to the threshold of our drought severity level, which is at severity level 3. Let's see what else we have. Discussions regarding the outdoor water conservation plans were held, and the action was that the committee recommended revisiting the water conservation program. So I have some editorial on that, but I'll hold that. And that is the end of the minutes as written here. The next scheduled meeting is for Wednesday, December 11th, but I do know that has been canceled. With that, I can't answer any questions on the meeting because I was not there.
Are there any questions? Because General Manager Gibley...
To identify cost-saving measures that could occur with little cost, and also grant programs that would be available to our district for saving money and energy costs down the road. So I think that's something that I'll be getting him in touch with Kathy, and then we'll move forward on that. But I can see some significant cost savings from some of the programs that were discussed at that meeting. I know that you were there too. So I just wanted to point that out, that we will be moving forward on an electrical conservation program in conjunction with PG&E.
Mm-hmm. He did say that there were they providing assistance in helping with those grants or just searching them out, right? I remember that being a big plus. Okay.
Mr. President?
Excuse
me. I just wanted to report that there was no LOCAC report in November as it was the Thanksgiving holiday. The December LOCAC is moved to December 19th.
Okay. LOCAC is December 19th.
Thanks.
And there was no November meeting, so thank you. Okay. Before we go to public comment, do any of the directors want to pull? Is there anybody interested in pulling any consent items? Not seeing a response. No. Okay.
I just have a brief question about 11G. I don't want to pull it, but I just could I have a little explanation of this item.
Yes.
Because I read the report, but I just need some clarification.
Yeah, we had gotten clarification on that ourselves.
Do I need it?
Yes.
Are you okay?
No, he doesn't. we understood. Go ahead, and if you could explain it too.
it's a piece of equipment that's not working properly that has to be replaced. Okay. The desander, because there is sand in our water basin, and it comes up sometimes when they're pumping, and it's because we don't have a soft start. We've got, you know, so when they start it, the sand needs to go through the desander before it gets to the filtration system. We do the iron manganese filtration for that well. And when the pump was replaced, the gallons per minute flow went down, so apparently the desander doesn't function properly at that, and so there's no way to get into it to change the vortex finder. So that's the reason that they need this other one.
No, that was the question I wanted the answer to, because we had just replaced the pump and I didn't understand the connection. So no, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. At this time, we'll go to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and first thought I had was some months ago we went down to the 9 to 3 office hours, and I understood at the time we were short-staffed, and I think we're this is related to the utility report. Margaret talked about the office hours, so I'd like to talk about that. I see some discomfort over there. I'd like to see that either a discussion about opening the office back up and some pros and cons to doing so from an 8 to 5 standpoint, because you are a services district. I'd like to see you provide the service to the community they're accustomed to. The South Bay Well has had a lot of activity lately, and I think I've had some phone calls from neighbors around it, and I can't explain everything that's going on there, and you don't have a line item in the utility report about it, so I'd like to see that kind of come forward. And I thought I heard through the grapevine that an RFP for the nitrate removal project might be already out or going out soon, so I wonder if we'll see that. When we talk about nitrates, a little earlier public comment, I talked about the nitrate report, and that ends up at a sewer plant, mechanically has to be filtered. Where we have biological systems going on in our septic system, taking out those things, breaking down hair, breaking down grease, breaking down thread, that all is done by filters and mechanics at the sewer plant. So to have that great septic tank mind now translates to when we have our sewer up and running.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, on Phil's report, even though it took place in November, you may see it next month, there was a CPR class held here at the community center, which is part of the process of getting the AED in the center. Those that needed to pass the class passed the class, so we're, I think there's only one step left to get it here in the building, and it may be here by the end of the year, I think. Is that possibly correct, Bill? Yes, he nodded yes. So long overdue, a long process, but yeah, nice to have it in the room. Looking at the utility report, if you look at it to this point in the year, the subcommittee that was established to do the rate increase. You know, many of those members, it was Leonard and members of the Utilities Committee, Rob Miller and myself. As you may remember, last year we were way within the margin of error, less than 1% off of the projections that we gave. It looks like the projections that we talked about for this year, it looks like it's all starting to you know, I'm looking for a word, to gear up, or you know, it looks like it's going to be consistent now. What we were trying to accomplish, consumption's down, revenue's up. Those were the two things we tried. And the reason I bring this up, not to toot the committee's horn, but this didn't cost the district hardly anything to do this study. Just keep that in mind in the future. Not everything has to be done by a consultant. I think you guys kind of have that stance on some things. This was a perfect example. We were closer to the margin of error than any rate study that's ever been done in this community for water. And then my last comment deals with the Emergency Services Committee minutes. I'm just curious as to who has final approval of these minutes, because there was a discussion that I was involved in about $43,000 of where it's going to be placed, where it is now, where it will be. And there's some information that's missing from these minutes.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment and bring it back to the board for any questions.
Mr. President, I just have one question or clarification on 11H. Has that been settled as far as the date?
Yes, we will go ahead with the 9th.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll make a motion then.
You may make a motion. Thank you.
I move that the board receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda items.
I'll second that.
Second by Director Wright.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Muthart?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to enter into the general action items. We have four items on our agenda this evening. What I'd like to do, since Director Vogel is not here.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Yes.
He has asked me to present that report.
He wants. Okay, you're going to present that report?
Yes.
All right, then why don't we start there? That sounds fine.
Thank you.
Dick?
Mr. President and members of the board, before you this evening are two motions, sections that address the demand, such as for small, large, remodel, and conversion projects that occur within this community. Now, on the intent to serve policy, it's important that I bring to you as a board that the general managers of the various CSDs in San Luis Obispo are actually meeting on this in conjunction and with the assistance of Rob from the Wallace Group and our district attorney here, who is also sitting on that group. We're trying to develop some uniformity that can be applied throughout the entire district, throughout the entire county, so that when and if we ever reach a point where we have development, and some of the other districts have development also, ours is consistent. And so we are all applying the same policies relative to the intent to serve. The only thing that changes in those is perhaps the number of gallons, the size, just a few of the more technical issues that you as a board will be addressing separately. So what I'm asking this evening is, one, that the board direct the general manager to implement the actions that are recommended from the Utility Advisory Committee relative to the Outdoor Water Conservation Program, and that we will report back to them. They've asked us to report back to them on a quarterly basis. What this will allow us to do is not have to come back to the board every time for this direction, but then just report to the Utility Advisory Committee quarterly. The second is I'm asking that you refer you direct the general manager to work in collaboration with the other CSDs in San Luis Obispo County to cooperatively produce a draft intent to serve policy for consideration by the UAC and also by the Board of Directors. So what I've asked you to do is to allow me, when this is drafted, to take it back to the UAC, and then they can prepare their recommendations to the Board of Directors. That concludes my report, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I have one question concerning Motion 1. So my understanding is that staff and the committee will be working together, but the general manager will provide oversight for any issues and that need to come back to the board?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I'm also asking you as a board to allow me to take those issues back to the Utility Advisory Committee without coming back to the board first. In other words, work directly and very closely with them.
Mm-hmm. I have a question regarding the first motion. Do you have an idea at this time, like how much staff time this might involve, or?
At this time, I really do not know. We're just now getting into outlining all the information. This is one of the assignments that Margaret is going to be working with Jason, our water conservation person, and he is going to be actually developing this program. And then what we want him to do then at that point is to contact the various nurseries that are in this and the landscape people, because they have some real good suggestions. And those were comments that were made by the members of the Utility Advisory Committee. And I thought those were wonderful ideas. And they may have some other ideas for outdoor conservation. Plus, he's also contacting some other CSDs and some other jurisdictions, trying to get some ideas as to what they're doing for outdoor water conservation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think our utility committee is very well suited for this. On the second motion. What type of timeline do you envision with working with some of these other? I mean, do we want to set a limit in some way that says so long we just do it ourselves?
Well, what I would ask of you is that you allow me to go back to the UAC and update them where we are in the process. I think that would be the simplest way. And establishing a time frame, I can't, because I'm working with seven other general managers, and so mm-hmm. we're all trying to work this in. Mm-hmm. I know that the attorney and Rob have had some conversations, some initial conversations. He may wish to comment on this also.
Yes, Mr. President, and members of the board, staff. Rob Miller and I have had exchanged emails and had telephone conferences. We're planning to get together to review the ITS policies from each district.
About 2002, check the Parks and Rec file for a whole lot of work from Gary Carner about xeriscaping. I just caution going down this road in spending too much money on it when the information's in our files. We've had a lot of citizen work over the years. The other thought I had is that Slow Green Build, as part of the wastewater project, is working on the decommissioning of septic tanks and reuse, and they'll be also discussing outdoor conservation as part of that. And I just don't want to see a whole lot of double effort end any double expense.
Lindy, on this item of the motion one, which would be to move forward with the outdoor conservation steps and measures, I was at the meeting, and what I recall was that we were going to put in ideas and discuss what would get the most bang for our buck to take on outdoor conservation. I do not recall going back and rehiring anybody for anything, and I would like to see a budget. If you're already talking about hiring somebody and them going out to go talk to, you know, Sage Nursery, of course, I would like to see this come back to utilities and get clearly defined as to what path everybody wants to agree on. Just a simple list, because it was a little bit left up in the air. We do have a conservation budget, and I think that we need to be spending it on education. But as Julie said, this has already been done once. We've already spent $30,000 to have the outdoor conservation plan put together. And I would much rather see us have a subcommittee to continue working on it if need be. But I'm really not ready to agree to have somebody go to the nurseries and have their lists, which we already have the lists. We don't need to repeat. So that's my thought.
Thank you.
Alvaro Los Osos. I'm enjoying the sewer construction. You guys are too. Just a little joke. Regarding the trash franchise?
That's not it.
I'm sorry?
That's not this item.
I'm sorry, what are we on?
We're on A, the Utilities Advisory Committee recommendation.
Oh, I thought we were doing the consent calendar thing.
We're already done with the consent.
You're already done? Okay.
Yep. Trash is coming.
The intent to serve section, I thought there'd be more discussion from the other two public members about this. These districts that are listed here all have unique characteristics and unique restrictions that are already built in by the current circumstances. What's the issue in Los Osos? Seawater intrusion. You have to establish your policy on how you're going to deal with availability with regard, and, you know, please don't come back with, well, we've got the basin management plan. You have it. Hasn't been implemented yet. Don't have the money to implement it yet. So we're establishing a policy. Seawater intrusion has not been stopped. We don't know when it's going to be stopped. But we're going to come up with some ground rules for issuing intent to serve letters based on availability? Are we going to develop our own offset system? You know, because Bruce looks like he's about ready to abandon the retrofit to build portion of Title 19. Title 19 was before the Board of Supervisors, if you don't know. Two meetings ago, or last meeting, whatever it was, and there was the section on Los Osos, there were no adjustments made. Not even the adjustments about not being able to collect credits inside the prohibition zone for building outside the prohibition zone.
Any? Yeah.
Well, in regards to the conservation program, I mean, staff, can you explain, you know, Jason's position?
Yes, I can. Jason is already working for us and has been working for us and does a lot of the well reports and the well calculations. He's into a lot of the conservation areas. He was one of the people that manned the booth the day of the Oktoberfest and dealt with all the indoor conservation issues as well as some of the outdoor conservation issues. And the material they're referring to is there. However, there is no program as to how we're going to implement it, and that was one of the suggestions, that there be a program designed so that we can educate our community and get them educated, as well as provide them not financial resources, but other resources to allow them to, when they start to dig up their yards, to do the laterals, to put their yards back in accordingly and in a conservation mode.
I was just going to add it. Both of these involve working continually with the Utilities Advisory Committee.
That's correct.
That's the point of this, is to enable that.
That is correct. It's to allow us to continue to work with them in these areas to ensure that everything gets taken care of and they can make the appropriate recommendations to you as a board.
Yeah, we'll take full advantage of their talents, I believe.
Can I comment on that? I have a problem with what I'd like to do or suggest. Can we deal with each motion separately? Because I have a big concern with the second motion.
Okay.
I have no problems with the first motion, but the second motion, I think what Richard said just sets out my concerns, but I'd like to really discuss that one in more detail.
Okay.
So I just suggest that we do one and two separately rather than having a combined discussion.
That sounds fine. Does anybody, let's focus on number one. So are there any other comments on number one?
Well, just the other one that was brought up in regards to the other purveyors. Is there any outreach with them?
One of what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to bring this back to a committee where they sit on this committee. And we're supposed to present this information and work with them in that regard.
Get these new microphones yet. Just if I could follow up on that a little bit. As part of our ISJ discussions, we're discussing the cooperation and trying to come up. We're taking the lead on the development of the conservation program, but we will work in conjunction with Golden State on that.
Thank you.
Aren't the funds for the outdoor conservation from the water district?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so that's one of the caveats, is that the money should be spent in the water district, and as far as I know, Golden State isn't in the water district.
Okay. Maybe for clarification, we're not talking about spending money for Golden State. What we're talking about is what criteria and programs that we develop they can pick up and use.
Oh, yeah.
Separately, so we're not talking about spending our money there.
Yeah, no, it's always good to save to share information. as has been mentioned many times by the board, the UAC, you know, is just a wonderful brain trust, experience and passion, and our general manager also realizes it in her short time in the position, and that's why she's brought this motion to the board in the wording, so that she can work with the UAC and more directly, and not have to let's say postpone implementation. And so, as I see this motion, this will get us the general manager and staff working directly with the UAC and get a conservation plan implemented. We're not agreeing to one conservation plan now. This is a basically allowing her to work with the UAC. Yes, it's a starting point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I get a motion?
Sure. I move the board direct the general manager to implement the actions as to the outdoor water conservation program as recommended by the UAC.
Anybody like to second the motion?
Yes, I'll second the motion.
Okay, I have a second.
I thought you were as the UAC person.
I'll let you guys do all the heavy lifting.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Uhilski?
Yes. They continue to issue will serve letters, and we don't. We're both using the same basin. So instead of just going, and it's the discussion I'm having problems with right now, I'd really like to see her focus on two things. The common intent to serve letter that all the special districts are using, and then working together with Golden State to come up with a policy that's common for our basin. I think that's the approach I would like to take.
If I could just supplement maybe what Marshall is saying, this process started approximately 2 years ago in the CSDA part of the special districts, and the purpose of it is to establish basically the same mechanism for consideration of these, not to give the specifics as to what you approve, when you approve it, what your conditions are. This is just meant to provide a basic groundwork for a district to consider these types of applications when they come in. In terms of whether they get resolved through the basin plan as to how we draft those or some other mechanism, that's separate and distinct from what this group is doing at this time.
And that's why I'm suggesting that we basically bifurcate the motion, for lack of a better term, that we talk about our intent to serve policies with Golden State. But how the letter and how the procedures actually work, we work together with the other special districts. But I just have a real problem with going forward the way this is recommended at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I had the same problem when I saw the word policy there, because I understood it more as a form, not a form letter, but if a contractor or a builder across, you know, from North County, they know the process. The process is the same. So, yeah, so that word policy doesn't look to be the proper word for what I understand working with the other CSDs to be.
Why don't we use the term framework?
I like that idea.
As long as we have an understanding that the policies are going to be worked out for our basin specifically and not countywide. That's where I'm trying to go with this.
I agree.
I think, yeah.
Well, how would you amend that? Because I agree. I think Golden State needs to be part of the process. Because, you know, even S&T to a lesser degree, but I mean, that's how we have to work this. And what's the suggestion?
Well, that's what I was suggesting, that we allow, or we still instruct Kathy to work with the other districts in coming up with this common letter and the framework, as Michael suggested. But then the second part of it is we instruct the general manager to work with Golden State and S&T on coming up with the policies that would affect our groundwater basin.
Okay.
And the UAC.
Right.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Well, UAC and ISJ. I mean, yeah, but...
Does that generally fit the intention of the UAC, what they were...
Yes. It would fit that intention.
Okay. So the two parts is the framework at which
Kathy and Michael would work with the other special districts to come up with a framework for the intent to serve letters. But then Kathy and we would work with the ISJ to come up with a policy, with Golden State and with Sunset Terrace. And for me, the agricultural users, too, everybody that impacts our basin, to come up with, even though they don't issue intent to serve letters, but I see that. So the framework for the issuance of the letter comes from the special districts, but the policies comes from a cooperation of the parties of the, you know, the other purveyors. So we have a common intent to serve letter in our basin. I mean, that's my proposal for the motion.
What are the challenges of coming up with that framework? I'm trying to get at what the actual work is going to be.
There's not even a consistency in calling something an intent to serve. Sometimes they call preliminary will serves, mm-hmm. and other things. There's no commonality in terms of when an intent to serve expires or doesn't expire. And there's no commonality in regards to when a will serve, when the conditions of a will serve might become so old because it hasn't been exercised that they no longer are relevant, and how you consider those things. And those are just some that come off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But, those things need to be consistent. Then you get into time frames from when you consider an intent to serve, how long you have to get it to the will serve step. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things we'd be working on.
Yeah, and if I could add one to that I'm just working on right now that you're familiar with. The question is, okay, who issues the preliminary will serve letter? Is it staff? Is it the board? Who issues the final will serve letter? Is it staff? Who's the board? That's the kind of things that are in the framework for continuity.
Well, it goes along to that problem we had several months back on that.
Them to discuss, to give their input on a policy.
I think what will happen is when we have a draft policy, if you've given us the authority, we'll take that draft policy back to the UAC before we come to the board, and that will give them an opportunity to look at it. It'll also, we can take the current policy and ask their concerns about it, so that we have some framework to start our talks.
I definitely would like to see that.
Okay,
yeah. I'd like to see that as far as them expressing their concerns, but I'd like to see that come back to us so we're aware of that rather than them just going off without us being involved in the process. So I think taking back to them and finding out what their concerns are, bringing them to us, and then us commenting on them and sending it back for them to craft the final language and fine-tune it, I think would be the appropriate way to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, wouldn't it be better, though, if I'm going to be doing a policy with other water purveyors, that instead of coming back and forth to the board, I have a chance to meet with the other water purveyors, so I bring all the information back to the board at one time?
Well,
that was what I thought we were talking about.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure I understand the process.
The way my motion, which I'll try to clarify again, is that we would move to have the general manager work in collaboration with the other CSDs in San Luis Obispo County to cooperatively produce a draft intent to serve framework for consideration by the UAC and board of directors. And we direct the general manager to work with the other water purveyors to come up with a intent to serve policy for our water basin. And then it would be that's the end of the motion. But I would see that after Kathy works with the other water purveyors, that she brings that to us, and then we refer that out to the committee.
All right, that's fine. I can do it that way.
Sure, that's all one motion? That shouldn't be two. Okay.
I'll second that.
Yep. We're okay? Okay, so we've got a second.
Well, hang on, I just want to be clear.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I still want the UAC, that brain trust, to have their words at this beginning of this process, not after meeting with the purveyors and all that.
No, my intent is at the next meeting to take the current intent to serve back to the UAC and ask for their comments at that time.
All right. It's just the motion clearly did not say anything about that.
Yeah.
The intent, we're giving the general manager the authority to do that.
Okay.
But the policy, all I'm saying is the process and procedure will be up to her.
That's fine.
All I'm saying is that I wanted the policy to be basin-wide to involve all of the purveyors, not just us.
Just let it in her discretion.
I'll go there.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. And
Director?
I was going to say, we also have an extra director, so
I still voted yes.
You did vote yes, okay.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Mudar?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. I know. Take a 2-minute stretch break. Everybody jump in place.
Yeah, jumping jacks.
Okay. Item 12B, Emergency Services Advisory Committee direction.
Yes. The item before you this evening is from the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. And at that meeting, there were a couple of requests, and I have listed those under the discussion. The first one is they'd like the board to authorize them to continue to proceed with the review and the final and finalizing the Emergency Services Advisory Committee vision and mission statement. The second is they'd like to ask the board to execute two certificates of appreciation for the two reserve firefighters for their over 5 years of service that have recently left our employ. And third, they've requested that the EAC have an opportunity to quarterly hear the progress that the district is making in submitting and attaining the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Section 7 permit.
Any questions from the board?
Well, just a clarification on the mission statement. Now that we have Kathy on board, for lack of a better word, we've been rather floundering on getting the mission statement. Like 6 meetings worth. It's just crazy. So now that Kathy's on board to help finalize that, and then the certificates, that's an issue with the two firemen who are leaving. We need to have a better policy.
Time, we're requesting that you approve this.
This time, we're just going with the current system.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. I'll do this organized. Any questions on number one? Okay.
No, we just like to get a mission statement.
Just want to get a mission statement. Okay, and any questions on number two?
Not anymore.
I just have a comment rather than a question.
Okay.
In the past, what our procedure's been, and I know this predates Kathy, our procedure was that the general manager and the president worked out the certificates of appreciation rather than them coming to the board. So I think that's how we've done it in the past, and I think that's how we should do it in the future. Because, to me, it's better to have these two people here and give them the certificate rather than be discussing it here. So
yeah.
I'd propose in the future we continue with the president and the general manager doing that, and then we just do the presentations here.
Okay. And then number three. Any questions on number three?
Nope.
I have a question because I don't understand it. Who's updating the EASAC quarterly?
We're working on a Section 7 permit for the fire clearance areas. And Kathy, I was working on that, and Julie was working on that. Now we've given that all over to Kathy. Kathy's going to be meeting with Trevor Keith, and she's going to be meeting with Julie Vandeweer to get this thing moving forward. So that's more of an update than anything else.
Okay.
A little more traction.
Very good. That makes perfect sense. Okay, now we will go to, or do you have a comment?
If I may, just a quick little point I'd like to add to number two. And the certificates, what the ESC was asking for was for reserves that have completed 5 years or more of service. And both of these individuals had completed more than 5 years of service. They also recommended that we discuss it with the employees. Some of them may want to come in, some of them may not. The typical thing is 5 years of service, leaving in good standing, of course. That was one of the things they also discussed. So just some clarification.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
We had in the past where we were going to give a certificate of appreciation out and the party declined to come to the meeting to accept it. So I think that's really up to the party as to whether they want to do that or not.
Okay. All right. With that, we will go to public comment on agenda item 12B.
It's cold in here.
Richard Margotson. I guess my question about this agenda item, is this going to be, are these things, utilities, finance, emergency services recommended, is this going to be an agenda, a general agenda item in the future? Every meeting, recommendations from the committees are coming to you, formally discussed and then approved? I'm trying to understand why these. It's fine if that's going to be the process, but then I guess my question is, how are we going to get things on these agendas at the committee level to then have the general manager make these recommendations to come to you for approval to go back? Because you know, these are minor things, gentlemen. I think you know some of the issues that have been asked to be discussed with regards to emergency services repeatedly over the last number of years. And we have these three as the first three recommendations to come from. I'm trying to understand this process. If this is going to be a monthly thing, then I want to know the process of how we get things on the agenda at any of the committees to then get brought forward for you to make the recommendation of how we're going to proceed. And in, with regard to this committee, I'm talking about the allocation of administration for the fire department, and I'm talking about the level of service. How do we get those now before you to send back for recommendation? Because those things have all been put on hold mysteriously for a long period of time here. And a comment on the last item. You guys didn't discuss anything on what your policy is going to, how this policy is going to be effective with respect to seawater intrusion. Are you going the direction of Golden State to issue intent to serve letters? Or with the purpose that the board's going to defend the basin until seawater intrusion is stopped?
Richard,
that
you
was
know,
none of that discussion.
That already passed that. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'm closing public comment.
No, I appreciate Richard's comments about, and I think it's, you know, Kathy's new on board, but I think that the new president needs to, we need to maybe adopt our bylaws so it's clear as to how this is going to work, because
we need to, you know, clarify and get things working on the same page, what we're talking about here.
Okay. I mean, if I think I would love it as a member of the ESAC, along with Michael, if we could come up with a vision and mission statement and be done with that topic. But I mean, I see that as more as an update, so something that could be in the committee report rather than being in a separate item. So I don't know. Do we need a motion for these certificates, or are you comfortable doing them? Because I'll make the motion. Because I mean, that's really...
Yeah, I mean, we might as well go ahead and just make the motion that we have here.
Okay, I move that the Board of Directors authorize the General Manager to assist ESAC with items one. Actually, okay, I'll just make the motion the way it's in the book here, okay? I move that the Board of Directors authorize the General Manager to assist ESAC with items one and three, and the Board authorize the General Manager to prepare two certificates of appreciation for the Board of President's signature for the two reserve firefighters for their over 5 years of service in LOCSD Fire Department.
I'll second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Newhart?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would suggest for our next meeting, though, that Leonard, you as the president, sit down with the general manager and figure out what items can come under the committee reports and what items would come under this format. I think that would be helpful in the future.
That's probably okay. We'll go ahead and do that and discuss this further. Okay.
I know.
You're
kidding me.
All right, let's go to general action items 12C. And this is the facility. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Mr. President, members of the board, earlier this year, your board decided to schedule a strategic planning session or sessions. Unfortunately, due to time constraints, you were not able to do that. To further this original action that you wanted to take, you authorized me to go out and send out an RFP/RFQ soliciting proposals to prepare and perform a strategic planning session for this district. I sent the proposal out. We mailed out 15 and emailed out 3. We received notification from 2 firms who declined at this time to participate because of their current workloads. Before you this evening, you have copies of all 3 of the proposals. You also have included in your packet a proposal comparison, which I prepared, so that you'd have an opportunity at briefly to look at the 2. The item in this particular case, this is not a, according to the government code, this is a professional services contract and cannot be determined based on a bidding and does not require that we award this to the lowest responsible bidder. Mm-hmm. So with that, I've provided you with the information, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, does anybody have any questions before we go to public comment and then bring it back for discussion? So any questions?
I had a question. Sure. Yes. Kathy, have you worked with any of these 3 groups before?
No, I have not. And what I did is I contacted all of the community services districts in San Luis Obispo County, and I received their mailing lists, and then I received an additional selection from one of the members of the board, and that's how I determined who to send it out to.
Okay, any other questions this time? All right, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to public comment. It's kind of like hitting the wall.
The heat has been turned up. We're going to get warm in a minute. On this item, I have a few questions. I'll throw out the first one. Why do it at Christmas time? This sounds like, you know, it also talks about possibly a whole weekend or 2 Saturdays in a row and a few evenings and conference calls beforehand. To me, that just seems like a lot more than, you know, this CSD has been working together for some time now. I think everybody needs to be refreshed and have new strategic planning ideas to think about and look at. But I believe this is about 3 times more than you need to be spending. I could see $5,000 maximum, and I'm not even sure why that much would have to be spent. We're talking about the professionals that have been picked to choose from are all out of the area. So they have drive time, they have hotel time. I mean, we're putting on a big conference for a small community that's having a hard time right now with our finances. I would urge that you drop that back to, I would say, under $1,000 and try to find something that will fit the need. And I would certainly like to see what's so fabulous about these other groups. I have attended these types of things before, and I know they can get very expensive. I just feel that it's an awfully high expense for this community. Thanks.
Thank you.
Al Barrow, how are you doing again tonight? Strategic planning, right?
Yep.
I now have hearing, so I know what you're talking about. Although it's kind of confusing, the last one, all the back and forth was really, I don't know, I think it's kind of wasting some time and energy and money, spending, throwing money at something. We've been doing this since 1999, running this district. Do we need to have a whole symposium on how we can better run it? I guess that's what it's about. It sounds like we're missing out on something, $15,000 of spending to have a vision, strategic plan. That sounds like something LOCAC would be doing, which they have been doing. And I just don't think that's really something, even though you've decided to do it, I guess, already, it doesn't seem like it's in your, you know, it's not part of your mandate. to, I mean, you have a CSD, you have bylaws, you have committees, you're really a functioning, you're no longer in bankruptcy. So I would say put this on the back burner and maybe reconsider. Do we have $15,000 just to throw out there? I think that's my concern. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And as I recall, when we were going to do the strategic planning earlier in the year, I thought it was someone had offered their services. It was relatively low, maybe $500, $1,000 on the outset. And there's suggestion in here that we would do this by the end of this year. Maybe it's a typo, because that's not really possible. But we're just getting to know our general manager, and I think clearly your qualifications are stellar in public administration. And it occurs to me that the last time we had a very comprehensive and productive strategic planning session, it was really when Bruce Buell was here. And each department brought forward its wishes for the future, as well as each director brought their desires, the public brought theirs, and really Bruce facilitated it. And that was all in at the cost of his own contract. And I'd like to see what Kathy can do for us before we take this step. This is expensive, and it seems elaborate, and really you are new. So let's get comfortable with our new general manager, our goals, you know, setting goals just to kick them down the road, kick the can again and again. You know, let's really see if we are gelling. We've got some big issues with the basin plan that need that really need our focus. And so I just think this is an awful lot of money, and I don't think we're ready for this. And again, if we can try it with our general manager.
Hensley made the motion. I'm pretty sure it was Gordon made the motion to disband the committees. There was a temporary disbanding of the committees in this community because of that strategic planning commission. That was right during the special fire tax, all that was going on, the move the sewer wars. That last one that Bruce oversaw did not go well. It was held here at this community center. And because it was a serious back and forth discussion, and there were things that the board did not want to hear, the meeting was stopped, and shortly after that, the committees were. I don't know if they were officially disbanded by the board, but the committees didn't meet for a period of time. So, the $15,000 is the issue for me. The last one that was done in the CSD offices with the chalkboard was much cheaper than that. I remember. Steve Sennett was an hour late, overslept, but they got through it anyway. but, you know, that seemed to have been productive, and it was much cheaper. I think it's going to be hard for you guys to justify this community right now, at this point in time, $15,000.
Thank you. Any more public comment? Seeing none, we're going to bring it back to the board. Board for discussion.
Well, I guess I'll start off on this. I wrestled with this one, and I understand the purpose and the need, to look forward. But on the other hand, I mean, we have a new general manager. We got a change in, presidency, committee assignments by the board members and such. I'd like to wait, personally wait 6 months before we look at this and just, you know, come back and revisit it. Simple as that.
I'm starting to learn how to work the new microphone, finally.
Good.
I just wanted to give a little background information here because there's been some comments made. I know Bruce Buell was prior to my time, so I can't speak about that. But when I first came on the board in 2008, we did have a Saturday session that Steve did sleep in on, which I still don't let him forget that. But the purpose of that session was not so much, I don't think, strategic planning for where the district was going to go. The purpose of that session was more to get the public involved with the board of directors so we could identify common goals. So we didn't get into what I consider the strategic plan. We got more into just the overall, what are the overall goals of the district. And we spent, my recollection was we quit just like right after lunch, and then we had a report back to the board, and then, you know, the board from that point forward I thought functioned very, very well together. So it was more of like a identifying common goals and a bonding type experience rather than a strategic plan. So I think if you want to go back to the last strategic plan, it was the Bruce Buell one that preceded me. So, but I agree with Michael as far as the timing of it. But I just want to lay that out there for, because Lindy spoke about it and so did, but I just wanted to give clarification. I really believe the last per se strategic plan was by Bruce, because ours was more of just identifying common goals in 2008. But even so, that was 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, I agree. I don't have a problem meeting with the public. I think we need to develop common goals. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what we do, what our responsibilities are, what we can, cannot do, and the public needs to know that, and we need to know what the public expects on what we do. So, yeah, I agree. That'd be, you know, have it at the bay at the fire station, you know, but wait till it's a little warmer. And well, that's why I'm proposing, you know, and then also too, I mean, Kathy's going to have a much better feel for the, and have a pulse of what's going on around here.
Go ahead. Okay. Looking through all of these proposals, these are quite comprehensive proposals. It's not just a strategic plan. If we look, and each one of them has its own key elements, and they're very different from, well, a couple of them are very different from each other. So one of the things that we have to decide, and we don't necessarily have to say, okay, yeah, we're doing this program right now tonight. This is a variety of what's out there in all of this work that goes into this. And even if we were to take on one of these things, the amount of work that goes in to make this successful is tremendous. I have it at the beginning of the year. So that's how we got the proposals. But there's a lot here in terms of, as we go through this, as to what it is we want to get out of this. That I think that's the key issue right now. I'm sure we can. This is the Cadillac version of the way I look at this. I mean, you can't add much more into these programs that were submitted to us. But I'm sure there's ways that we can trim them down to say, yeah, we don't need 4 Saturdays. We just don't have that much strategic planning to do. You know, that type of thing. And go have it rebid or recosted, however we put that there. But I do want to encourage us to look at this type of program. I think having somebody from the outside is actually advantageous in these kinds of things, somebody that is neutral. Because we're the ones that have to work together, and I think it's really advantageous to have somebody that can look at it in a real objective way. So I think that's a plus in that sense. And then one of the things that would come out of this is a strategic plan provides a continuing direction from the current board to the future boards. And I think that's a key thing for us right now, because we are starting from a new starting point, you know, with coming out of bankruptcy, having a basin management plan. And we want to get a sense of where we are now and where we, what our legacy and how that direction is going to go out into the future. So that's the plus I see with doing this. But keep in mind, yeah, this seems to be the full program here. What's that?
Seem like the full meal deal?
This is the full meal deal, yeah. So, let's think about that. Anyway, that's my two cents on this now.
If I can offer a little bit of perspective regarding cost, $15,000 is probably at the lower end of one of these that is done professionally. And other districts that I've seen them go up as much as $25,000. So.
Mm-hmm. It is your turn now.
So, read through this and thought about it and expressed concerns to the general manager. And it appears, listening to the public comment and fellow board members, is that there are different definitions of strategic plan. Is a strategic plan a vision statement? You know, is it a common goal? But I think it's, as President Muhart has said, it's just that, it's a strategy. How does this community service district operate? How does it strategize? What's the strategy to get things accomplished? For example, with our committees, you know, as it was brought up today, somebody from the outside say, you know, it's, you know, the board sets policy. It's the policy of the board to direct the committee, that they can direct the committee to do annual tasks each year that don't have to come back to the board. But there's no strategic plan laying that out, so that when three directors step down in a year and three more step in our liaisons to the committees, what do they have to reference to say, how does this operate? If we had a strategic plan that tells the strategies of how the board communicates with that, how the board communicates their goals and functions to the next year. So, yes. What I've heard is that, you know, it's more than common goals. And so, as I said, I don't know the nuances of professional costs, but I see the benefit of it, especially with just listening to the dialogue tonight, you know, again with the committees, again bringing up the how we are. Basically, we are given a fresh new start. Bankruptcy's over. Right, the sewer is decided, it's going in. Okay, and so where do we go forward in a new set of fresh eyes? Does it need to be done tonight? Well, again, it was decided last year to try it at the beginning of the year with the new board coming in. Maybe it's better to wait 3 or 4 months for our general manager to have a little bit more comfort with us. Because some people are going to have some
why they're in business, and it's something that, you know, you don't generally go to a doctor to get medical advice. You try not to do it yourself, and I think it's definitely worthwhile. But I think $15,000 was the top. That was the not to exceed. So. There's other, you know, other avenues in terms of cost. So that's my plug for hiring an outside firm like this. So any other thoughts?
Well, I was thinking that there is not a rush to do this, and the idea of letting Kathy set in for, you know, a little while, although she's got getting up to speed pretty fast. I would like to see this a little bit later than sooner, you know, spring, summer would be fine. 15,000 sounds like a lot of money. As Leonard mentioned, if we avoid a couple of mistakes, we can make that up quickly. And looking at what the consultants are offering, it's fairly extensive. They are out of town. They are expensive, but this is what they do. Now, I guess the question is, does this district need this kind of work for a strategic plan, and how would it affect us, and would it improve the overall functioning of the district for the community? Well, we've been getting by for years, so to speak. We went into bankruptcy. We did a few other things that probably weren't very, you know, well thought out. But will this make us a better functioning board and serve the community better? I'd say probably. I've been on a number of boards before that have had strategic planning sessions. They've generally been helpful. So, you know, on a cost-benefit analysis, is this worth $15,000 if we can have a board that over the next 4 years saves $15,000 as a result? Seems like a fair trade-off. It does seem expensive, though. I don't deny that, but it's not like we're going to spend a weekend at the Bellagio. You know, I think this is something where we can trim costs by where we conduct this and how we conduct it. And again, when we have a not to exceed 15,000, I think everyone immediately hears 15,000. They don't think that it can be any lower, but it can. And we can look at those things. I don't think we're voting right now for a $15,000 plan. And the options here range, too, in terms of the scope. One has three four-hour public meetings, four-hour drafting meetings with staff. Another one had two public meetings. So there are options here. I think having a strategic planning session for the board is a good idea. My thought is it can wait a little bit, and so I'd rather put this one over, this decision over for a little bit.
Do we want to have our general manager go back and have, look at other options in terms of phasing, you know, maybe doing like different phasing sections, or
well, there was again, when I was speaking with General Manager Kibley and expressing my concerns, and one of them was cost. you can have a planning session, but then to get a strategic plan is a whole nother cost and time commitment, and that the general manager made it clear is not a minor thing to actually then have a document at the end. There's a session and then there's the document, and it was made clear that the document is kind of a
extensive,
right?
Yeah. No, it'll be a lot of work on our parts. I mean, it's a commitment on the part of all the board members to go through with something like this, so it's not a small deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I'm not opposed to it. I think it's definitely...
So,
I need a motion.
I need a motion. Okay, so...
Well, I'll make a motion that we postpone this and bring it back in March for discussion.
I'll second that.
President Moore,
yes.
I think that's my feeling, too, is I think that with the new general manager coming on board, we do have some continuity in the board in that, you know, Michael's been here the longest period of time, so I think with the, whether it be you or Craig or whoever is our new president in January, I think that it would be appropriate to have, and this is just my take, it would be appropriate to have Kathy get her feet wet, to have our committee members, because we're going to have reappointments of committee members in February, and then move forward at that point. I'm more comfortable with that personally. I just think it's, now is not the right time to do it. So I agree with Director Wright and Director Vogel.
Would there be any modifications to the RFP?
Yeah, that an actual document is required.
Mm-hmm. Not a problem.
Okay. And if there's any other suggestions, feel free to submit them to Kathy.
If we do it in March or whatever, I mean, that would give us time over the next month or so to look at this in more detail and get comments back to Kathy. So the next RFP that goes out, we can, you know, and maybe you want to bring it back to our next board meeting to have us consider the RFP or, you know, just talk to her informally or whatever, so we're all on board when the RFP goes out. Because the responses right now cover a wide spectrum. Yep. I mean,
well, I think, you know, part of the refinement can be when the newly constituted committees meet with their new board liaisons and be on the agendas. That should be a big item for the agenda, is to come up with, or at least get them in the thought process of what the vision is, you know, for the district and what we should be doing or not doing within their committee responsibilities.
Yeah, well, we should have them, you know, we filled out the planning forms last, at the beginning of the year this year, and those, that format, we've just, you know, it seemed to have worked fine for everybody, so we have the format. We just continue that program. I just want to kind of get a feel from the board, though, is are we all on board with putting that kind of commitment in to get a good strategic plan where it might take a couple of weekends or a couple of Saturdays, a couple of meetings to accomplish this? I don't want to go through this if everybody's not for that.
This has been good, even though it looks like it's going to be pushed off, because now we can see what a professional would expect from us. And if we as a board and as staff are saying no, we'll be available one weekend, then the RFP's got to make that clear that the staff is available one weekend and the board's the next weekend, and then there's a meeting the third. That's it, you know. And so I don't know if we have to make that decision now or just let the general manager know.
I just want to make sure that everybody's on board to a certain extent, you know, to do this if we're going to go through another RFP.
Well, I think what Craig's saying is true. I think what we want to be able to do is in this next RFP express our concern. I don't want to say concern, but the idea that we want to make this an efficient process. Because I think then we're able to say, you know, we want you to come back with your most efficient process that still gets us the product that we want to have. Because that does two things. It cuts down the time commitment with wasted time, but it also should reduce the costs.
Mm-hmm.
But if I with your motion, I really have a problem with the March time frame, just because our committees get appointed in February. I'd like to push that back to April.
I have no problem with that. Yeah, I'll amend that to April.
I don't have a problem either.
Okay, so the motion has been made for April, and it's been seconded, and we'll go ahead and vote.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Voga?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Sure. Yes.
President Moodhart?
Yes. Okay, we have general action item number 12D, authorized transfer of solid waste franchise to the San Luis Obispo County.
Before we get to that, I'd like to thank whoever turned the heat on, because it's a godsend.
Yes, thank you. Okay.
Mr. President, members of the board, and tonight's for the board to consider public comment, but it's my hope that you'll approve this and we can actually bring what everybody's been talking about tonight, the bankruptcy, to a close. That ends my staff report. Be happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions for council? No? Okay, we'll go ahead and go to public comment.
Thank you. My name is Al Darrell, and I just want to say the transfer diminishes the district's receipts by $160,000 a year. Everybody understands that. We know we have to do it. But what we don't know is that we can buy it back. We're no longer bankrupt. We have a financial authority. And I think at some point we should keep that option open. You talked about options in the last discussion. Would there be any objection to keep that option open that we could have our trash franchise purchased back from them? Because the only reason we sold it was not because we didn't want it. It was because we had to satisfy the judgment. We've done that. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't approve this tonight, Mike. I understand the necessity, but I also understand the loss. You just talked about spending $15,000, you know, and you were pretty comfortable with that idea, you know, in maybe 3 months that you would do that. But you look at, we got $160,000 gone, okay? Now, how are we going to make up the differences of those losses on our budget? And I think that should be part of this discussion, is what is the impact to the district's budget for transferring this? Well, we know immediately it's $160,000, so we need to start thinking about where we can replace that money, how we can do that. And earlier I suggested buying the Golden State Water Company and actually getting some revenue from them as part of that. So I know that's kind of a little off topic, but at the same time, when you transfer this kind of asset, which gives you $160,000 a year, how are you going to replace that hole in your budget? Would somebody please tell us that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker, I guess it's a fait accompli, finally. I don't like it. I never have. I really don't like that this is how it all ends. You know, some years ago we talked about having a LAFCO process, and I understand the reason not to have a LAFCO process is that we're not giving up the latent power to do this again. We could have a trash franchise again. But with limited resources, Al's suggesting we buy it back, but it's complicated if that were the case. When we talked about this in that Saturday morning meeting, October 5th, I think it was, Mr. Baltimore spoke about how this sets us up for the future, setting the district up for the future. And all I can think of about its future without this is its diminished capacity as a district. And really, we're just cutting our baggage loose so that we can move on. That's not really very idealistic for the future. And, you know, we're not going to get the wastewater project back in the future either. Even if they gave it to us, I think we'd have to want it. And I don't want it. And then, you know, does the county really do a better job at providing services than the Los Osos Community Services District? I think they're going to take this franchise and it's going to cost each of us a little bit more in our trash, because they're going to take the full pop at every opportunity. And then the irony is that it's the trash trucks every week that go down the sides of the road that will finish off whatever roads we have left, and then the county allowing the contractors to only pave back 1.5 inches of asphalt, that's what's going to break away. So, you know, while we gain something one place, we lose it somewhere else. So, have a good night.
Give away the only easy asset it had, $160,000 income, for doing basically nothing. And as has been asked, how are you going to survive in the future? Was it maybe a plan that you wouldn't? The county would just come back and take us over? All the years of struggles and trying to actually become a community services district that serviced the people of Los Osos, not the county. We've been abused by the county forever, and I'm really disappointed that they're taking it back. And I really think the options could have been discussed. I think Richard brought that forward very clearly, that we could have been in a position to bargain with the county to buy that franchise back with a bond and pay them back the $160,000 a year, take that as income and pay them back the $2.8 million that this franchise was worth. So, very, very sad day here.
Thank you.
I think you know, Richard Margaretson, I think you know what I'm going to say. You've heard it before. I completely understand. This was what option was out there to satisfy the bankruptcy. But as far as the process, gentlemen, this is the one where you mimicked the county and how they're dealing with this community on the wastewater project. This is your wastewater project. You did not. The ramifications of this $160,000 have never been an agenda item on the Finance Committee. The options, Marshall said this would come back, there'd be a discussion, there was possibly going to be an option to negotiate to pay this off over time. You know, why was that not part of the discussion? As long as the $2.8 million was part of the pool, why would anybody care how it was financed? Whether it was the whole $160,000 or it was, you know, $100,000 a year until it was paid off. Those options were never discussed. You guys talk about how, you know, proud you are of the committee process and the members that are on there. This is one where the committee and the public could have been of serious assistance to you. Serious assistance to you. Because before you guys were ever board members, Marshall may remember, there were years when we didn't take the full franchise percentage, the 10%, where trash rates were actually reduced in this community, where we did annual budgets and made sure that we had the revenue, but not more revenue than we needed. You think there's any chance in hell the county's not going to take the 10% every time it comes up for renewal? We're looking at continued increases for, by the time this is available to be even returned to the community, how many decades are we talking? And every time they come for that increase that they're allowed, that 10% is going to be in there. Because all the franchise agreement is a kickback. That's all it is. It's a kickback. They collect the money, they kick some money back to the district. This isn't a benevolent gesture on the part of the garbage company to give us $160,000. Everybody's paying for it. The process on this one, guys, was terrible. Terrible.
Thank you. Any more public comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comment on this item. Bring it back to the board for discussion.
Yeah, I just have really a few brief comments here because I've been the one on the board since 2008, and I was the one that was appointed in 2008 to work on the bankruptcy. So I just have a couple brief comments. I think the staff report fairly well covers the issue that at the time we were 40-some million dollars in debt at that time. That was whittled down then through negotiations and through the bankruptcy court to about $11 million. Unfortunately, I mean, those of you that are watching the news right now, you see what's going on with Detroit. I mean, not that we would ever be in that same category, but you see the process and how this can turn out. We worked hard. We worked hard over the last 5 years to get this thing resolved. It's not an optimal. Just to respond to the one comment that Julie brought up, you know, the reason that we're leaving the power in there with LAFCO is because that does give us the ability to get the franchise back. We don't have to go back through a process then. We just have to be able to negotiate with the county the franchise's return. You know, I think it's just a move that we had to make. And I really, in all honesty, I have to thank the county for throwing in this money to the bankruptcy, because without this money, we would not have been able to resolve the bankruptcy. So that's all I have to say. I'd really, you know, I'll be prepared to make a motion to go ahead and approve the agreement, and that's it. And you can tell I'm emotional about this. So.
Yeah. Any other comments?
Well, I agree with Marshall. I mean, it's important to realize, or the public to know, that we are not giving up our latent power. This is court-ordered, negotiated the best possible solution to a very bad situation. And I think, you know, perhaps just for the public's benefit, they're watching and stuff, as far as the background on the balance of the money, since it's been going on so long, there's been children born and now in school since this started. Where, and just a little education for everybody, where the rest of that money come from that paid off the debtors between the $11 million and the $2.8 million. This education.
It's a complicated process, but I mean, there's been negotiations with the Regional Water Board. There's some monies remaining in the SRF funds. We were able to get the Regional Board to waive their penalties that they had assessed on the district. That was part of that money. So, I mean, we negotiated the contractors down in their fees. So it's a myriad of things that we did to get to that number.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I just wanted to, you know, get the summary out there. But I'm in favor of supporting the motion right now.
I'd like to just say a couple things. I understand the sentiments of the public that came up here. It's really tough to have to give up something like this or to lose something like this. I know our board, we attacked it, you know, every way from Sunday to try to figure out ways to keep this. Every time it came up, we brainstormed it, we hit it, we did whatever we could to try to avoid this. And it's definitely a bitter pill. The other thing, and despite the fact that we did have to give it up, one of the reasons I agreed to even run for this board was because of the bankruptcy. I felt like the board that was sitting was making progress. That was my understanding. And I felt like I wanted to keep that in any way that I could, keep that progress going to make sure that the district got on financial, good financial standing. And I did, get to see the very end of the last negotiations and the complexity, and met some of the people involved in that, and it was very eye-opening. It was very complex, very delicate situations, and it was very, I want to say it was extremely professionally handled by our counsel, and that includes Marshall. I can't say enough about, and just bear with me, no matter how you feel about the outcome, the time and energy that Marshall put into this to get us to this point is immeasurable. We could not have afforded him if he charged us his regular attorney's fees. We would still be in bankruptcy and with probably not a sight in end. It would have gone on infinitely, as far as I could see. But I think that I just want people to know how much energy was put into this, because it was tremendous. And
professional almost every month, asking them, why are we selling the franchise? And you know, it's not a straightforward, easy question. It's all part of the process and negotiations. And so, you know, it wasn't just we handed it over. We had board members sitting here being showing our frustration to our council, and then apologizing for showing our frustration to our council. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Explain. And so it's not a straightforward, simple process.
Marshall, would you please make a motion?
Thank you, and I appreciate your kind words. I'm sorry. I'll get emotional again. I move that the board confirm the transfer agreement of the solid waste power to the County of San Luis Obispo and authorize General Manager Kathy Kivley to sign the agreement on behalf of the Los Osos Community Services District.
I'd ask that you amend that. You referred to the power. You're transferring the solid waste franchise.
I'm just reading what I'm
okay, but it is a transfer of the solid waste franchise.
Okay, I will restate the motion then. I apologize. I move that the board confirm the transfer agreement of the solid waste franchise to the County of San Luis Obispo and authorize General Manager Kathy Kivley to sign the agreement on behalf of the Los Osos Community Service District.
I'll second that motion.
Director Uhielski.
Yes.
Director Bogo.
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Muthart?
Yes. Okay. Any future agenda items? Requests from the board members to receive feedback, direct staff to prepare information, or request a formal agenda report or prepared and the item placed on future agenda.
What about the ESAC allocation? Is that an item that the administrative allocation that the emergency services committee was looking at? Is that something that we may want to look at?
We had started looking into that. The financial advisory committee had started on to that.
What are you're talking about an ESAC?
No, the ad hoc committee that you guys have for the administrative allocations.
I think with Kathy coming on and Ampi retiring, and we have the interim CPA in there right now, yes, we want to look at it, but we
maybe in 2 months.
I think so. We're going to be doing midterm budget.
It was my understanding we were going to look at that as part of the midterm budget.
Midterm process.
Yes.
Okay. So
which
that'll all be.
It's going to be in February, apparently.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. 2 months. Okay.
Okay. All right. Go ahead with some board comments.
Well, I just want to remind everybody about our parade on the 14th. If you look hard, you might see board members on the fire truck.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them driving. Who knows? Also, after that, here at the South Bay Community Center, the needs and wishes. It's definitely worthwhile. It's an excellent program. It benefits many, many people. And also, don't forget that our neighbor to the north here, Moore Bay, having their lighted boat parade this Saturday at 6 p.m.
I'd like to thank everyone who came to the meeting and those of you who are viewing at home. I left after closed session, came back, went over to see to the PAC and saw all those great band groups from 6th, 7th, and 8th grade at LOMS and Morrow Bay, and saw my son Jack give his first concert at the PAC. So, yay, Jack.
What instrument does your son play?
Plays flute.
I'm just trying to give you a plug here.
And well, too, right?
My turn? I'm still emotional. I mean, you guys, and I appreciate it, Leonard, I really do, because you know how much I've been emotionally invested in this bankruptcy and the time, and I thank you for those comments. But I'd like to just, again, talk about the Needs and Wishes fundraiser, and I think the thing that I want the community, our community, to realize, this is a county. Well, I mean, this isn't just local community. People come from all over the county to this thing. So it's really, really an exciting event. Having lived here for quite a while and seen almost, I think I've missed one of the eight, but it's a really good event, and I would encourage everybody to come. Come early and shop often, and watch for us on the fire truck, our new fire truck in the parade, right?
All right. Again, on Needs and Wishes, I want to...
You're done, though. I want to ask you about his lack of facial hair and how that worked out.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll answer that. All right. So the holiday, the trash pickup for Christmas, just as a reminder, it's running on the cable. And is it?
It is on our Channel 20.
Yeah. Right. It's on our Channel 20. This also can be at the CSD offices. You can pick up the schedule there. But just to go through there, it's a normal pickup schedule, Monday 12:23, Tuesday 12:24. If those are your normal pickup schedules, that's also the holiday pickup schedule. Now then, if your normal pickup schedule is Wednesday the 25th, Thursday the 26th, and Friday the 27th, then essentially everything's bumped up a day. Wednesday is Thursday the 26th. Thursday is Friday, and Friday is Saturday. Bumped back? Oh, sorry, bumped back. I gave you the dates. And so don't forget, the end of this month ends the rebate program for your toilet replacements that basically pays for the whole thing. And then I personally want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and God's blessings.
Movember, my lack of facial hair. So I couldn't wait till December 1st to get here so I could get rid of the itch. I used to have facial hair all the time, but this one was extremely bothersome. But it was worth it. Our team raised over $2,000, and I'm proud to say I was the top money raiser. And for that, my boss is going to be waxing my car for the month of December.
Nice. Does he know any pickup trucks?
Yes. Yep. So. So that was good. And, I can still take more donations, so don't be shy. Couple things here. Wanted just to remind about the monarch butterfly that I'm trying to think what to call it. It's the committee that they're putting together for the migration that till December 15th. So that really seemed like a fun kind of committee to be involved with. I want to thank Merle for coming and staying and participating in our whole meeting. So thank you, Merle, and thank you for presenting. And we look forward to seeing you often. And then I just did also want to remind people, I think AGP had announced last month that you can also, they stream live on the internet our meetings. That's the only time you can see it on the internet at this time. It's not repeating, right? But I think that they're working on that. But it is streaming live, so there's no excuse not to watch it now, because if you don't have cable TV, you do have a computer, I'm sure. Yes. So with that, happy holidays, everybody, and thank you. And I want to thank everybody. If I'm not elected next year as president, thank you for making this a great year for me. No.
Are we adjourned?
Meeting's adjourned.